morning. I don't know how this will turn out because I'm driving. And I'm saying good morning because it is at the moment 7:41 of a Tuesday and I am driving to Coventry. Now, the reason why I'm decided finally to go back to the podcast is on the one hand because of practicality, because I am ridiculously busy at the moment with so many deadlines connected to the university, to Green Gorilla, and to, you know, my other projects and stuff that I enjoy doing, just because. But also because I want to vary the format of the newsletter. I want it to be appealing to a variety of people, which I'm learning through a postgraduate certificate I'm doing on teaching in higher education. And inclusivity means providing material in different formats. So that's what I'm doing. So let's try this. I'm driving. There will be an awful noise at the back of this recording, but at the same time, you know, I'm imagining that you're sitting just next to me, we're having a chat, and that's okay, and that's absolutely fine. So hopefully you'll forgive me for this unusual way of speaking to you today. Today I want to talk to you about courage. You know, in January I talked about attention, another key element of change making is actually having the courage. Now, usually we say find the courage where? That's the thing that puzzles me. Can you actually find courage? Isn't it something that is within you and you have to actually go and look for it somewhere else? But the reason why I want to talk about courage is because it is an element that is needed when you want to make a difference, because it usually implies making a difference and that you actually get out of your comfort zone. And getting out of your comfort zone, and I'm sure you're all familiar with the various Venn diagrams of the show, getting out of your comfort zone, but I'll put one in the article as well. It means growing. So if you stay within your comfort zone, within what you already know and know how to do quite well, there is no growth. Nobody's saying that growth is a nice thing. Well, at least not in the process of growing. It's actually a very painful thing. If you remember being a teenager, I do personally, and I wouldn't go back again. Not for $1 million. But on the other side of that growing pain, there is beauty and there is value and there is all the stuff that we dream of. So if we want to make a real difference in sustainability, because this is what I love and, you know, that's where my passion lays really, we need to get out of our comfort zone. And we need to have the courage, find the courage, gather the courage, whatever is needed to get out of that bubble, if you want. For me, courage is a threshold. It's just a very thin line between being nice and cozy and comfortable, but remaining where you are, and actually being outside, being under the weather, but maybe having an adventure. Just that little tiny threshold line. Sometimes it only really takes a text message, an email, a phone call, something that initiate a process. And it could be that you give a call to somebody who is influential. A couple of months ago, I wrote to my MP, so I took an email. And I wasn't expecting a reply, but actually she did reply. And she gave me a very full account of the actions in my area connected to sustainability, which I was very pleased about, because the more pressure you put on your MPs, the more they will feel they are held accountable, and the more they're going to push in turn to the higher spheres of government. And if we all do that, then things change. So it might not have been a revolutionary act, mine, you know, to actually write an email to my MP, but I've never done it before. I was worried. I was worried of what? That's the thing. I was worried of not being taken seriously. Often sustainability is seen as a nice add-on, even, you know, even nowadays, by some people, not something that is fundamental. So I was worried perhaps that my MP would think I was completely foolish. But by her reply, I actually understand how much she cares about it. Seems quite genuine, even though she's a politician, it seems really quite genuine and interesting in this particular topic. So worry and fear are very, very fundamental feelings and sensations, and they can be crippling. They can stop you from taking that courage, finding that courage, and really crossing that threshold. But what are you scared of? That's the key question to ask yourself when you have a good idea, but then you don't act on it. What is it that you are scared of? And often it's a primordial fear of losing something, maybe, or looking foolish, or that things will change in a utterly negative way for you. But they're all disaster scenarios so that your mind creates to protect you. In which sense we have to honor it, you know? It's important to understand what your mind is protecting you from. If he's looking like a fool, well, to be fair, I don't know personally my MP. I mean, I met her, I bumped into her on the street, I don't know who she is, she doesn't know who I am. But it's not justified, my fear, to look like a fool to a person that I don't even know. So once you start analysing what is really stopping us from achieving our full potential, whether that is in sustainability activism or change making or change careers even, you know, on a personal level, then you start to see how actually pushing a little bit, maybe by incremental little pushes, towards the edge of your comfort zone is a really good thing. Now, a couple of examples that are relevant, I think, in this case, you know. A few weeks ago, I was in Valencia on a field trip with my university students, and it was the beginning of February, and there were 20 degrees, which was lovely. However, I think you will agree with me that 20 degrees is definitely not enough to jump in the sea in February. You know the sea is going to be cold, even though it's Spain, and even though the day looks bright and lovely and sort of warm, not really hot, pleasant. Definitely lovely for a coffee, open air, but not for jumping in the sea. However, my colleague jumped in the sea. She's Irish, so probably we have two different levels of tolerance of cold. Me coming from Sicily and her coming from Ireland. At the same time, I looked at her and I thought, what would it take me to actually jump in the sea as well? I saw she was having a lot of fun. fun, honestly. She was playing with the waves, swimming. Yes, it was cold, but she was having a lot of fun. And I thought, what is stopping me from enjoying myself or, you know, proving that I can do difficult things? Because that's the thing, in everyday life, you can experiment a little bit and prove to yourself that you can do difficult things and that you can push the envelope now and then, that you can get out of your comfort zone. And the more you try these little mini challenges with yourself, the more you're gonna be able to do it when it really counts. And one of my mantras is, I can do difficult things. I can do difficult things because I can, because I demonstrated to myself time and time again that I can do difficult things. So I just jumped. Took me 2 seconds. It was blooming freezing. It really was. It definitely was a temperature that I wouldn't normally be comfortable with, but I had so much fun. I loved it. It was reinvigorating, and I got motorbike just overcoming the, which is quite noisy, but hey, the beauty of recording a podcast while driving. And so I did it, and I was so proud of myself, but I was also satisfied with the fact that I did a difficult thing. I pushed my own comfort zone bubble threshold. I did. And I know for a fact that has helped me to reinforce that idea and that identity as me, as a person who can do difficult things. And off he goes. That's the old thing with changing habits, and I'm sure you're familiar with the work of James Clear, and if not, please do make yourself familiar with the work of James Clear and his habit building wonderful book called Atomic Habit. You need to identify with the person you want to be. So it's like you have a goal, and the goal is, for example, to be able to do difficult things, or the goal is to become more involved in sustainability activism, which I think is a really cool idea and really what the world needs right now. In whichever way and strength you have, and I think I will talk about strengths in a future newsletter or episode of the podcast, because it's really quite fundamental to the way I think, my philosophy. So whatever your goal, the way to overcome that painful threshold that takes you from your comfort zone to outside the comfort zone to the area of growth is by looking at the end point. Now, when I was a child, my dad, who did some technical drawing when he was at school, taught me a little trick for drawing straight lines, straight segments. And he said, you don't concentrate on the pencil as it's drawing. You don't look at every millimeter that you're covering with the pencil. You actually only look at the end point. So decide where the segment is going, and then keep your eyes fixed on the end point. And then your hand will go in a very straight line. And that's exactly what happens. Just try it, you know, little exercise. You don't wobble. Your hand is firm and secure, and you can do it. And you go straight from A, which is your starting point, to B, which is your end point. That's exactly the same when you want to achieve a goal, whatever it is. A crazy dream, fabulous. So long as you are convinced that that's the thing you want to do, just look at it, just look at the end point, and then any little stumbling block, any little painful threshold will be nothing, really. You will do it without even thinking. The more you overthink the steps towards your goals, the more difficult you'll make it for yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan, absolutely not. I'm a big fan of planning. But what is your end goal? What do you want to achieve? What do you want? The thing is, as human beings in a modern society, and you know, I talked about fragmentation of attention last month, we are not focused. We don't have those, you know, our eyes on the end point. We don't have our eyes on the end goal. Because guess what? We don't even have an end goal. Often people just navigate life without exactly knowing where they're going. I'm not saying that you need to have all your life sorted either. I'm just saying you need to have a direction. If sustainability is something that you want to do because you want to make a difference or because you just think it's the right thing to do, then that should be your direction. You might end up being a politician. You might end up being a farmer. You might end up, you know, doing regenerative farming or interior design in a way that is in line with your strengths, but honoring your values, including sustainability. For me, I realize there is a lot of teaching involved in this, a lot of dissemination of information, writing. These are my strengths: teaching, training, coaching people. That's how I advance sustainability in the world. For me, that's the direction. I haven't got a real goal in terms of I want to have a company that employs 100 people, whatever be quoted in the market. I haven't got any of this in my head, but I have a very strong direction, and the direction is to make a difference using my strengths. When I was little, I was about 10 or 11, I believe, I started playing the piano. I think I was actually 10. And under the school year, so that was actually a sort of club that we did at school in the afternoons to learn how to play the piano. And at the end of the school year, we had a end of year show, let's call it, where we would showcase what we learned during the year. I wasn't very good at all. Mainly because I couldn't be bothered to actually put in the time to practice. So no surprises when the time of the show arrived and I was super nervous. I was so nervous that my nose started bleeding. I think my, you know, blood pressure, although I was little, went, you know, through the roof. Because I wasn't prepared. And that was a huge hurdle for me to overcome. The threshold of comfort zone was a huge wall. It wasn't just the line, it wasn't just a tiny thing to do, it was a big mountain in front of me to overcome. And yeah, no surprises when I actually sat down at the piano in front of all the parents and my schoolmates, I messed it up. I actually wasn't in the right frame of mind for playing that piece nicely, and I made a little mistake. I mean, I didn't completely screw it up, but at the end I finished and I cried, as a child would do. And that thing really scared me for a long time. I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought I couldn't do difficult things like this, and under pressure I would crumble every time I had an exam or something difficult of this kind to do. Now, I think the reality is that I actually wasn't prepared. And if I had practiced more, like I was meant to be doing every day, for, you know, even 5 minutes over the course of the year, I would have had a much nicer journey and a much nicer show at the end of the school year. But I didn't. And my hurdles became mountains to overcome. And then for years afterwards, I thought about that particular episode with real dread. So the learning there has been throughout the years that in order to be able to overcome your fears and coming out of your comfort zone and get into the zone of growing, you have to prepare. You have to have a clear plan of what you want to do and why you want to cross that threshold. As an 11-year-old child, I didn't really have a plan. Probably I was playing piano more because my parents wanted me to. Now I picked it up again 30 years later because I love the idea of playing the piano, so it comes so much easier. But the key was I overthought the hurdle. I didn't prepare for that. And I had no direction. I didn't know why I was doing it. So if you really, really want to overcome your issues with coming out of your comfort zone, if you want to start making a real difference, you need to think it through. I advocate a lot the value of journaling. So if you have the willingness to buy a nice notebook or even a crappy one, to be fair, at the moment I'm writing on the cheapest lined paper I can find, and that's absolutely fine because I write a lot. Just get your thoughts on paper. It makes a huge difference in terms of how you're gonna think. Thinking is aided enormously by the act of writing. Just try it. Just try it for a while. Try it for a week. Force yourself to write 3 pages. So that's the idea of the morning pages that I've been doing since December, really, which have changed my life. And I can say it loud and clear. If you followed me a little bit, you know there's been also a divorce from social media, which has helped, but my introspection, my capability to get inside and really understand what's going on in my head has increased enormously because of the morning pages and the journaling. So just challenge yourself to write down what you need to do to make a difference. Why do you want to do it? What is the end goal? What is the direction you want to take in that sense? And what it takes? So what are the steps that you need to take in order to get there? Again, sometimes it might be as simple and as easy as write an email to somebody influential. Pick the phone call and call a friend who knows somebody else. Take that step. Book that ticket. Go to that exhibition, go to that networking group. All of this can be the beginning of a new adventure. And in most cases, it's actually easier than what your brain is trying to tell you. And remember, the brain never makes a mistake. It's trying to protect you, but really try and understand why and what from is trying to protect you. What is the issue? What's the worst that can happen? Where is the fear? So I hope you enjoy this little, you know, different way of doing a newsletter. And do let me know what you think. And I will see you next time.